All right. Just open our Bibles, please, tonight to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. If you would stand with me one more time, beginning in verse 1 as I read here, Luke chapter 19, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. That's the Jericho, of course, you know, is the city back in the Bible days of Joshua, when Jericho was the city that was fortified and Joshua marched around Jericho many times. It was rebuilt since then, and Jericho is the city of thieves, the Bible tells us. Can I tell you something, though? Jesus entered, but he passed through it. He didn't stay there. There's a whole other lesson there. But verse number 2, behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Notice that, who he was. Could not for the press or the crowd, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree. So he ran ahead of the crowd and climbed up a tree, for he was to pass that way. Jesus was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste. Hurry up and come, boy. He says, hurry up, boy, and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. When they saw it, the crowd, the press, all those people that were with him, they all murmured. What a mess that is, right? They're murmuring, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that's a sinner. Zacchaeus stood in verse 8 and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. In verse 3, he sought to see Jesus who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. The little man in Jericho. Let's pray. Father, I pray for your help this evening. Lord, that you'd help me. Lord, just be a blessing to your people. Father, that I would get out of the way. Lord, I yield myself to thee. I pray for a holy unction upon this place. Lord, a spirit of hunger and thirst for righteousness. I pray, Lord, you'd help me to be a blessing, to feed the flock that you've given us in this place. Lord God, that your Holy Spirit would manifest himself in a powerful way. Oh God, that our hearts would be moved and stirred and we'd be changed. We'd make some decisions tonight according to your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus just going through the city of Jericho, traveling. Jesus did that a lot. He traveled a lot with many, and he always drew a crowd, and that's good. But many times, as we said this morning, they were there for the wrong reasons, and they obviously, this crowd was not there because they were concerned about the souls of mankind. Because when Jesus went to Zacchaeus, the crowd murmured and complained and said, "What's he doing? Going to a sinner's house?" As if they're not sinners, right? As if there's something different than a sinner. Now, obviously, being around Jesus, can I say something to you? I don't know. I'm still growing in the Lord myself, as we all are, but the more I read the Bible and the more I read the life of Christ and study, like this morning, people that were right there with Jesus, people that were traveling and hearing him speak and watching him, and they still, their hearts were still filled with pride. Their hearts were still filled with vanity. I mean, they're complaining that Jesus is caring about this little man. This was a little man, though, Zacchaeus. He was a Jew living in Jericho. Jericho was not again, I told you, Jericho means city of thieves. Jericho was a very evil town, a very evil city, very ungodly, very unrighteous. But Jesus passed through Jericho, and there was one man that he really, I believe, went to see that day. And I just a little man lost in a big city. That's what I see right off the bat. A little man lost in a big city. He's a rich man. He's got money, but he knows something's missing in his life. He's a rich man. He's got what the world says is important, but he knows something is missing in his life. He's a rich man because he's also the chief among the publicans. He's a rich man because in those days, publicans were tax collectors. And what they did is they basically stole from people. They told them that their taxes were such an amount, but their taxes were not that high, so they would keep the overabundance and give to the government, and then they would get rich by stealing from people like that. That's why people did not like Zacchaeus. He was a little man. He was lost in the big city. He was a little man who had a terrible reputation in that big city. He was a little man who had nothing really to look forward to. Somewhere along the way, we don't really know how Zacchaeus heard about Jesus. We don't understand exactly. Some people say it was probably through John the Baptist. Now, remember, John the Baptist preached Jesus. He pointed men to Jesus Christ. He told them, hey, there's the Lamb of God, the one who is here to take away the sins of the world. And so Zacchaeus may have heard about him through John the Baptist. Zacchaeus may have heard about Jesus just through the crowds, like the follow him around. We don't understand. We don't know exactly. But all we know is there was a little man in a very big city that day who knew that he didn't have anything left in that city that was going to make him happy. There was nothing else in that city that was going to fulfill his heart. He was a little man lost in big riches. You understand something? That's very easy to do nowadays, is people get lost in their money. People get lost in the material wealth of this world. People get lost and what they think is important that the world has told them, you know, and Zacchaeus is going to great lengths. I mean, he's got a terrible reputation in that city. People don't like him in that city, but he's okay because he's got money. He thinks he's living the life that many people would desire to live, but he's a little man and he's lost in those big riches. The weeds are overtaking this little man, you understand. This big city of Jericho and all of the idolatry and all of the immorality and all of the evil and the wicked lifestyles, and he's living it up in the middle of all of that. He's just a little man lost in that big city. He's a little man lost in those big riches. He's a little man lost in big and dishonesty with a very bad reputation. Here's an interesting thought, though. His name means pure, clean, and just. Isn't that amazing? Well, why in the world does Zacchaeus mean pure, clean, and just? That doesn't add up considering his lifestyle, his reputation, and his character. So tonight I just want to look at this with you. There was a man, a little man lost in this big city, a little man really bound to the chains of sin and iniquity, not happy though. Knowing that it wasn't that what he needed, knowing that it wasn't going to be enough, he was still empty inside. He was a little man, and I want to say this to you. Even though he was a lost man, I'm going to make a little bit of application here a little bit later. But I want you to see here, he's not just a little man lost in a big city. He's a little man who, by the grace of God, now listen, has a big hunger. He has a big hunger for something that this world cannot give him. He has a big hunger for something that money is not doing for him. He has a big hunger for something that Jericho and all of its lights and parties can never fulfill in his heart. He has a big hunger. In verse 3, he sought to see Jesus. Look at that. There was a hunger in his heart. He said, I'm tired of this life. I'm tired of what I'm pursuing. He was no longer, he said, today, when he got out of bed that morning, he said, today, I'm not going to seek any more money. I'm not going to seek any more riches. I'm not going to seek any more pleasure. I'm not going to seek any more material wealth. I'm going to seek to see Jesus. Amen. I love the fact that his name is pure, clean, and just. God is doing something in Zacchaeus' heart to make. By the end of this passage, he's going to own up to his name. Mm-hmm. He's going to own up to his name. But there's something. God is working in this young man's heart. We don't really know he's a young man. He's probably not a young man, but he's a little man. Okay, he's a little man with a big hunger. He desires to see Jesus. Notice in verse 3, who he was.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think that he was concerned about necessarily what he could do for him even. And I think we got to keep that in mind, that he's not comparing Jesus to anybody else. He's not trying to figure out what Jesus can do for him. He's got everything.
Right. Yeah.
He's got everything the world has to offer. He's got riches, and he's got comfort. And I mean, all those riches come with lifestyles, you know, living it up, living in luxury, living in ease, and, you know, having money for everything you want. And it reminds me of the church of Laodicea. The Bible says that they were rich and increased with goods and had no need for nothing. But Zacchaeus may have been that way for a little while, but Zacchaeus is now deciding, hey, listen, I've heard about this man named Jesus. I've got to see who he is. I'm going to seek to see. So there was a big hunger in his heart to find what was missing.
Yeah.
To find what was missing. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he said he could not, in verse 3, for the press, because he was little of stature. The crowd was so big that Zacchaeus could not look over their head. He could not, you know, he couldn't see over their heads. We don't know how little he was. But obviously he was shorter than the average man. And he couldn't see Jesus. He was like, you know, men were walking, and he just couldn't see through the crowd. So he had a big hunger to see Jesus. So that gave him, listen now, I believe that because of that, he had a big heart then. He was decided, listen to me, he was decided, I'm going to do whatever it takes to see Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm going to do whatever I have to do. There are complications involved in Zacchaeus' life here. He's coming up against some insurmountable odds, if you will. He cannot add to his stature one iota. He cannot make himself grow, and he cannot make those men shrink. He can't do it. This is an impossible situation for Zacchaeus. But his hunger and his desire was so strong, and his heart was so given, I've got to see Jesus. He woke up that day, as I said, and he could not, he was not going to be denied this opportunity to see Jesus. He was a little man in a big city, a little man surrounded by a whole lot of sin, a little man who could not change his stature. He was a little man who had many odds against him. He's a little man who could not do anything to change those odds. But his heart was devoted, I'm going to see Jesus today. Jesus is passing through Jericho, and I've got to see Jesus.
Amen.
I see a man's heart here, a very little man, but with a very big desire, a very big heart. And I don't think that we need to overlook that. He ran in verse 4 before the crowd. He ran ahead of Jesus. He ran ahead of the press, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree. Now, he's a rich man.
Right.
He's probably not wearing tree climbing clothes.
Right.
He probably didn't own a whole lot of tree climbing clothes. He didn't have work boots. His work was tax collecting. His work was sitting in a chair somewhere and telling people how much they owe the government and then pocketing everything that he could. His work was not dirty. His work was not arduous. His work was not at all complicated. It was very dishonest. It was very much evil. But today he said, you know, I don't care what I have to do. I don't care what lengths I have to go to. I don't care what I'm going to get. I don't care if I'm going to get my clothes dirty. I don't care if I may, you know, cut my finger, scratch my knuckles. I don't care. I'm going to see Jesus today.
Amen.
And boy, I'm telling you, this needs to be, if you understand what I'm trying to say this evening, this needs to be our heart's desire. This needs to be our daily heart's desire. We need to come to a place where daily we wake up and realize it may cost me a little bit today. I may have to exert some effort. I may have to give up some luxury and comfort, but I'm going to seek Jesus today. I'm going to find Jesus. I'm going to see Jesus. Zacchaeus was not going to settle for anything less.
Yeah, right.
He was just a little man. He was overwhelmed with circumstances. He was overwhelmed by really just he was not able to change his situation and circumstances. He had really things in his life, conditions that were not physically, there was no hope for him to change it. But his heart was so set on seeking Jesus, seeing Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus, who he was. Can I say he had a hunger and a desire, can I say, just to know more about Jesus. That's what we're looking at tonight. Hold your place there. And turn with me over to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 7. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. We'll be back to Luke 19, but verse 7, the Apostle Paul here was also a little man, we believe, a short man. He was not a strong, muscular-bound man. He was just a short little man. But what things, he says in verse 7, were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. See, Zacchaeus had a lot of gain from this world. He had a lot of income and gain, and he had a lot of clout, if you will, there in Jericho. But something changed in his heart. He had heard about Jesus. He had heard about who Jesus was. And look what it says here in verse 8 of Philippians 3. The Apostle Paul has the same heart here. He says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." Now, Paul's writing this, you understand. He's not a young Christian in Philippians chapter 3. He's been saved for a long time. He's planted many churches. He's won many souls to Christ. He's now imprisoned, and he's writing this to the Philippians. He said, I'm in prison here. I'm bound by these chains, but I want to know more. I want to know more about my Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, he said, "For whom I have suffered the loss," in verse 8, "of all things, do count them but dung that I may win Christ." I want to win his approval. I want to get closer to him. I want my relationship with him to be stronger. That's what Paul's heart was. That's what Zacchaeus' heart was that day in Jericho. Go on in Philippians chapter 3. He says, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness," verse 9, "which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." There that faith is again. The righteousness that God gave us by faith, see, that I may know him, in verse 10. Paul's desire was all the way to the end of his life. I just want to know Jesus better. I want to know more about him. I want to know more. I want to be more like him. And he said, "Everything that's gained for me in this world, I count it as loss that I may gain Christ, that I may gain more knowledge and increase, and my relationship with him might be greater and stronger." Zacchaeus had a lot. He had everything this world had to offer, but God began to work in his heart. And that's, listen, I just wanted to say that's what this message is all about. That God just needs to keep working in our hearts, because there's always things that are going to come into our lives, across our paths, that we're going to think, "Hey, this is gain. This is good. This is increase." But really, you got to be careful. Many times it's not. Many times, like Paul said, "I count that but dung that I might win Christ." There's things that this world is going to throw in your way that's going to make it sound like, "Hey, you know, you need this. This is going to help you." But Paul said, "No, I don't think so. Anything that I gain in this world is going to take me away from Christ."
Yeah.
I remember, again, I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but I remember this verse, how it ministered to me and really convicted me years ago. What things, verse 7, "what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." I remember when we were just a little family, and we were just eating ramen noodles and beans and rice, and somehow paying a college tuition and working round the clock and barely sleeping, trying to keep up with my school and my homework. And I remember, though, that as time progressed and we began to, you know, get more and increase, and we weren't struggling quite so much, I saw this happening in my life. I saw this happening where I wasn't nearly as close to the Lord when I began to get gain that I thought, you know, while I'm over here, and I'm not saying we struggled, but we did struggle somewhat, but while I'm over here physically and financially struggling to pay my bills and feed my family, I was much closer to Christ.
Yeah.
And as God, and we prayed, "God give increase, God help us, God provide for us." And as he did, though, this verse just hit me right between the eyes, and I began to realize, boy, I was closer to Christ back then.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I was closer to Christ back then. And I'm not saying you got to go sell everything you have. I'm not saying you got to go eat beans and ramen noodles. But I mean, go to college for the rest of your life. But the truth of the matter is that we have to be very careful that we count those things as dung. We have to be very careful that we don't esteem those things above our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is saying. That's what Zacchaeus had decided that day. He was a little man lost in this big city. He was a little man surrounded by all kinds of sin and iniquity, but he was a little man who somehow God had put a hunger in his heart, and that heart's desire was, I'm going to see Jesus. Paul had the same desire. We need to have the same desire, amen, as we go forward in this Christian life. Zacchaeus had a big hunger, and go back to Luke 19. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. Verse 3, could not for the press. Can I say this to you? When you do get that hunger, when you do get that desire, when you do decide, hey, I'm going to count all things but loss, I'm going to seek Jesus. Understand something, there's going to be a press. There's going to be opposition.
Yeah.
There's going to be a crowd, amen, that's going to come up against you. There's going to be something that's going to stand between you and Jesus.
Right.
Zacchaeus' desire was, I just want to see Jesus. I just want to know more about this man. I want to see who he really is. I've heard him, you know. I've heard about him, but I've never seen him. And he even got to the crowd, and he couldn't see him because of the crowd. Bartimaeus was a blind man who was begging by the wayside, the Bible says. And he heard Jesus was also passing through Jericho. He was sitting outside the gates of Jericho, and he was begging for the world to just give me anything. He too was just trying to, he was a poor man. He wasn't like Zacchaeus.
Right.
He was on the other end of the spectrum. And he was begging for something. Just give me something to get me through this day. His eyes had been blinded from birth. He'd never seen a thing. And he heard Jesus was passing by, and the first thing he did was he cried out. He said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd began to say, sit down, Bartimaeus. Be quiet, Bartimaeus. Jesus is busy right now. And the Bible says he cried even the more louder. He got louder. He said, Jesus, have mercy on me. You see, every time you desire and decide, can I say this? Desire ain't going to get you nowhere.
Right.
Yeah.
The best of intentions still is absolutely zero progress.
Right.
Desire doesn't get you anywhere in any walk of life. Well, I just desire to... No, well, okay, that's good, but you got to decide to do something about it.
That's right.
And when you decide to do something about it, there's going to be opposition. In this case, Jesus is always going to come. Somebody's going to oppose that. Now, again, I'm not going to get into the details. I don't know who these people are. But these people's hearts are not right. These people's hearts are not, they're not following Jesus for the right reasons. There's a great opposition here Zacchaeus is facing. But listen to me, I love the fact that he's just a little man and he can't change his circumstances. He can't change his height. He can't change the crowd. He certainly can't get rid of the crowd.
Right.
But he has a big enough heart and he has decided, I'm going to see Jesus.
Amen.
Now, he ran before in verse 4. Climbed up into a sycamore tree. He got his clothes dirty. Like I said, he did what he had to do. He overcame a situation. Listen, I don't think he planned on climbing a tree that day.
Right.
But it's amazing how God put a tree there. Isn't that amazing? How God put a tree there for Zacchaeus to climb. Now, I I've never been to Jericho, and it's not a big tree, or you wouldn't be able to climb it very well, but it was just enough of a tree to get him up higher to where he could see over those people's heads and see Jesus.
Amen.
God provided. Let me say that again. God provided a tree.
Amen.
To see Jesus.
Yeah. Amen.
Wow, think about that. Zacchaeus said, there's a tree. That's what I need right there.
Yeah.
God put... Now, where'd that tree come from? God!
Yeah.
I don't think Zacchaeus didn't have anything to do with planting that tree. Right. Zacchaeus didn't have anything to do with making that tree grow, amen?
Right.
Neither did science, neither did evolution. God put that tree there.
Right.
And Zacchaeus used what God had already put in his life to draw him closer to Jesus. I just think we need to learn a lot from this little man. Yeah. This little man did not have, listen, by any stretch of the imagination, he was not struggling in his human walk, his human life, but he was spiritually dark. He was spiritually dark, but God changed his heart, began to help him see you need Jesus, and God put a tree there to help him see Jesus. Yeah. Amen. This tree lifted up the man. The tree that I'm talking about lifted up our Savior.
Amen.
Amen. So that we could see him. He said, if I be lifted up, amen, I will draw all men unto me. And that's exactly what Zacchaeus lifted himself up and drew Jesus to him. Amen. That's just a little bit of a comparison there. But what I'm saying is Jesus looked up and saw Zacchaeus in a tree. Now, there was all kinds of people around there that day that Jesus was no doubt talking to and spending time with. But when you go to such great lengths, when we go to such great lengths to see Jesus for who he is, and listen, God's not always going to take away the opposition. God's not always just going to take it away for you. You know, Zacchaeus didn't go have a prayer meeting right about then. Well, Lord, I pray that you take away this crowd from my Savior. I pray you take away this crowd. I pray you remove this crowd. Lord, they're standing in my way. And then he didn't do that. He just made something happen. Now listen, I'm not saying that you don't pray about things, but understand something. Sometimes when you pray, you just use that as an excuse. Well, God didn't take away the crowd. I guess I'm just going to go home. God didn't remove the press. I guess I'll give up. There's God working in this young man's heart, or this little man's heart. He's doing something in this man's heart. He's working to see how serious are you about getting to see Jesus. You see, how serious are we? How serious are we about getting closer to Jesus? I mean, how serious are we as a church about really knowing Jesus better? Hey, we're just a little church in a very evil city. You see how that works? I'm just a little pastor in a very ungodly city. And I, there's a lot of people who would try to oppose you and me getting closer to Jesus. There's a lot of people in this city who claim that they're following Jesus, who claim that they're saved, who claim that, hey, I go to church, I grew up in church. But listen, they're not seeking Jesus. They're just there, and they're hindering people who really want to find Jesus. They're hindering people who desire to get closer to Jesus. We're not going to be able to go out there, you know, amen, with an AK-47, M-16, and wipe them all out and say, okay, now we've got access to Jesus. No, we're not going to do that.
Right.
I think we're just going to have to go to the tree.
Amen.
Amen. We're just going to have to go to the tree.
Amen.
The sycamore tree that God will provide for you. Listen, he's not dumb. He knows our hearts and he knows what we're really after. And this man Zacchaeus was a little man, but he had a big hunger and he had a big heart. And Jesus stopped. Amen. Jesus in verse 5 came to the place. He looked up and he saw him.
Yeah,
now, we don't know everything that Jesus thought at that time, but we know what he said. He said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Now, but what we know is we see Jesus there, seeing Zacchaeus, looking up there and seeing that man, and in his mind, he's realizing, wow, there's somebody who really wants to know me.
Yeah.
Look what he said, today I'm coming to your house.
Yeah.
Now, Zacchaeus got a whole lot more than he bargained for.
Right.
Are you listening to me? He just wanted to see Jesus to see, who is this man? What's the big deal about this man? But see, God saw his heart.
Yeah.
And Zacchaeus got a lot more than he bargained for.
Yeah.
God blessed Zacchaeus' house that day. He said, I'm going to your house. Now, I don't know if Zacchaeus had a little Mrs. Zacchaeus or not, but I guarantee you, she better had her house clean. Because Jesus came over, just all of a sudden dropped in. Who's coming? Who's coming? Who? What? Yeah. Jesus!
Amen.
I hope Mrs. Zacchaeus was a good housekeeper. But I don't think it mattered to Jesus. Anyway, it did matter that Jesus stopped and he said, okay, Zacchaeus, I'm not just going to let you see who I am. Hurry up, young man. Hurry up, little boy. Hurry up, little man. Come down. We're going to your house today. Today, he said, I'm going to come. I must abide at thy house. And the Bible says he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Isn't that an amazing thought? Of course he made haste. I mean, he just wants to see Jesus. He just wants to know more about Jesus. Now Jesus is literally communicating with him. And not is he just communicating with him. He said, guess what we're going to do? We're going to go fellowship together at your house.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Now Zacchaeus is thinking, wow, Jesus is going to come into my house. Jesus is going to come into my own place of residence. We're going to sit down and we're going to chat for a little while. Listen, hey, you know what happens when you die and you get to heaven? That's where it's going to be for all eternity. Amen. Right. Jesus abiding, it's going to be his house, not mine. Right. Maybe my mansion, I don't know. But it's going to be his house, and Jesus is just, we're just going to spend time together. He said, young man, come down out of that tree. I don't know why I keep calling young man. He was young to Jesus, I guess. Jesus is everlasting to everlasting. Amen. Come down out of that tree. Hurry up, boy. We're going to your house today. Maybe Jesus was thirsty. I don't know. Maybe he was hungry. But the fact is, Zacchaeus got a whole lot more than he bargained for because he did not quit. He did not lie down and say, well, I guess I can't see him today. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe next time. Maybe I'll find out who he is next time he comes through. He was just passing through, remember? He didn't quit. He didn't let anything stop him. He didn't decide to just maybe give it another try next week. He said, I'm going to find out who this Jesus is. I'm going to spend time. I'm going to do what I can to just see him. And then when God saw that heart, that desire, that burning hunger, he said, hey, I'm going to bless you today. I'm going to come to your house. And boy, I'm going to bless your entire house. I'm going to literally step foot into your house. Can I say something to you? That's what we need in our houses more than anything else. That's who we need in our houses more than anything else. We need Jesus to come to our house. We need Jesus, amen, to abide at our house. Oh boy, he had such a big hunger. His heart was so devoted to decide, I'm going to see Jesus, listen to me, that his whole house was blessed that day. His house was blessed that day. The Bible says there he made haste, he came down and received him joyfully. Now, understand something. There wasn't a whole lot of joy when he was trying to see over that crowd.
That's right.
There wasn't a whole lot of joy when he was climbing that dirty tree in his nice, rich clothes. There wasn't a whole lot of joy when he's wondering, I wonder if he's going to see me up here. Which one is he? There wasn't a whole lot of joy. But listen to me. When you put forth the effort, when we put forth the effort to seek our Savior and to know more about Him, He knows that. And He responds. Yeah. Yeah. And listen to me. The results are always great joy.
Amen. Oh, yeah.
Great joy.
Amen.
You understand, he is the only source of joy in this world.
Amen.
I know I'm not preaching anything deep tonight. I'm just trying to encourage you, listen to me, encourage our church. We're just a little church in the middle of a big Jericho.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Amen.
We have all kinds of reasons to say, well, you know, I guess there's too much opposition. Well, I guess, you know, people just aren't going to let us, or the devil this, or that this, you know, God's not going, you know, God's just waiting for us to show that we truly indeed have a desire.
Right.
Yeah, that's all right.
I believe he wants to bless every one of our lives. I believe he wants to bless all of our church, all of our ministries. I believe he is. I believe he has. I mean, we've got fruit from nursing homes. We've got fruit from mission. We just read about a mission field today where three people have just trusted Christ. Every bit of that goes on the account of our little church in Big Jericho.
Praise God. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
It's not because we're somebody special, amen. It's not because we've made ourselves. No. We just got to have to continue to prove that to Jesus, to our Savior. Hey, I do want to seek more of you. I want to know you better. I want to have a closer relationship with you. I would love for you to come and abide in my house. And by the way, that should be your desire every day. Jesus, this is your house. Jesus, you abide here today. I will not have anything in this house that will hinder your abiding with me today.
Yeah.
Oh, there's another message right there. But I want to make it clear today that Zacchaeus was not any different than anybody else in that whole big crowd, except for his heart. And Jesus stopped for him.
Amen.
The Bible says there that he received him joyfully. That means they went to their house. He opened up his house and received him into his house joyfully. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, Jesus says.
Amen.
If any man hear my voice, amen, and will open up unto me, open the door unto me, he says, I will come in unto him.
Amen.
And I will sup with him and he with me.
Amen.
And I believe that's exactly what happened. Jesus had been knocking on Zacchaeus' heart's door, and now Zacchaeus is climbing up that tree, and that's Zacchaeus' way of opening up that door to Jesus.
Amen.
And Jesus is saying, okay, I'm coming in.
Amen.
And they went home and they sat down and they had supper, amen, together.
Amen.
They had supper together. They fellowshiped together. It was so much joy in that house that day. Listen, when there's a lack of joy in your house, it's because Jesus is somewhere over in the corner. When there's a lack of joy in your house, it's because you've allowed somebody else to come in or something else to come in and replace him.
Right.
I'm telling you right now, listen, my house is no different than yours. You might not believe this or not, but everybody in my house is a sinner.
Amen.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. Everybody in my house. Everybody, especially this one you're looking at that's talking to you. We're all sinners. But listen, when Jesus is number one, we know that Jesus is there, and we know that he's with us and abiding with us, and we give and we receive him joyfully. Listen, I promise you there's a lot more joy than when we let somebody else come in and take over.
Amen.
How's your house? I mean, is there joy in your house? Is there joy in your marriage? Is there joy with your children? I'm telling you right now, is there joy in your heart? Zacchaeus had a better day than he ever dreamed of. He just wanted to see Jesus. That's all he wanted. But boy, Jesus said, I'm going to give you a lot more than that. Isn't that amazing how God's mercy works that way? He gives us so much more than we deserve, so much more than we could ever imagine, so much more than we'd ever dreamed of. Zacchaeus got so much more. He received him joyfully. Verse 7, of course, the crowd's murmuring and complaining. That's how we know their hearts are filled with pride and selfishness and unrighteous, ungodliness. But Zacchaeus said in verse 8, Zacchaeus stood. I believe probably after they sat down and had supper and ate, and because Jesus was traveling, so he probably gave him something to eat. The Bible doesn't tell us all that, but that was customary in those days, in that Eastern culture, to entertain strangers, to be hospitable, to be given to hospitality. And Zacchaeus, of course, had the money to do that. So they went home and they had some supper. They rested and fellowship for a while. And boy, Zacchaeus stood in verse 8 and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Now, here's a man with a changed heart. You say, what changed him? Just Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
I don't know if I can emphasize that enough. Just spending time with Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
We don't even know what Jesus said. It doesn't matter
right.
What Jesus said.
Yeah.
He was just in the presence of Jesus.
Amen.
With a desire to know more.
Amen.
And draw closer to Jesus.
Yeah.
And he stood up that day after they fellowshiped and talked and had supper and whatever they did. He stood up and said, you know what, Jesus? I'm going to give money to the poor, and anybody that I've stolen money from, I'm going to give them back four times as much. Whew. And Jesus said, mm-hmm. Now this, he said, this day salvation has come to this house.
Amen.
Wow. Now, again, salvation is not a prayer.
Right.
Salvation is a changed heart.
Amen.
Salvation is a new creature in Christ Jesus. Salvation, it has nothing to do with restoring people, but it does have a lot to do with, listen, he understood that this is repentance, you see. He understood that I've sinned against God, and he's willing to make restitution. He's willing to do whatever he can to fix what he's done, what he's broken. And that is, we can't always fix what we've broken, but when repentance comes to this old wicked heart, and salvation makes its way into this old filthy sinner's heart, understand something, I do want to make things right. I remember when I first got saved, I remember the hours and hours and hours, don't look at me like I'm some kind of ungodly, terrible sinner. I'm just a sinner saved by the grace of God, but I remember hours in prayer, just pouring out my heart, weeping like a baby because of all of the guilt and the shame that I was finally able to just release upon the Lord Jesus Christ when I finally got saved. I mean, you don't understand. I was raised in church. I knew when I was out in the world and living for myself and ungodly, I knew that I was wrong. And I just kept heaping guilt and shame and guilt and remorse upon myself. And when I finally let go and said, Jesus, I'm done. I'm done. I accept your gift of salvation. I yield myself to you. I trust you with all of my heart. And I got saved, amen. I remember hours and hours in private prayer just pouring out my heart in tears to God, releasing all of that guilt and all of that shame because I was full of it. And God gave me such peace, such joy, such restoration, and such a renewed spirit. Amen. He created in me a clean heart. And I don't know that Zacchaeus is doing that exactly, but Zacchaeus has a changed heart here. He's repenting. He knows that he's sinned. He knows that he's wronged people. And it's obvious that there's a changed heart. Salvation has really come to this house. In verse 9, Jesus said, this day is salvation come to this house.
Amen.
There's evidence. There's fruit.
Yeah.
Any man that's in Christ, any man, behold, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. And the old Zacchaeus was gone.
Amen.
The old Zacchaeus was gone. And the new Zacchaeus stood up. Now, isn't that a beautiful picture? Amen.
Yeah.
Resurrection.
Amen.
Amen. The new Zacchaeus stood up. Amen. Jesus Christ was buried in that tomb, but 3 days later, amen, he stood up.
Amen.
A new glorified body. But see, when I was saved, amen, I buried that old man with Christ, amen, and I stood up in righteousness. I stood up in salvation glory. And listen, I was a changed man because I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I stood up, amen, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Zacchaeus stood up, a new creature in Christ Jesus, and he was changed, and there was evidence of it right away.
Amen.
Resurrection power is right there in that verse. He stood up in resurrection power, a new creature, born again, amen. And it all started, listen now, don't forget, it all started with a desire. I want to see Jesus.
Yeah.
I want to know more about this Jesus.
Amen.
Now understand something. As far as I know, everybody here is saved. If you're not saved, if this never happened to you, you better get saved.
Amen.
If nothing ever changed when you got saved, you better check up on that because that ain't Bible salvation. That ain't Bible salvation. Something changed in my heart when I got saved. Something changed in Zacchaeus' heart when he got saved. And listen to me, and it was evident to everybody around him.
Amen.
Everybody. Salvation came because Zacchaeus was a changed man. Verse 10, the Bible says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Yeah.
We know Zacchaeus was lost.
Yeah.
But God, through the preaching of John the Baptist, God, through the preaching of other Christians, maybe God just through the planting and sowing of seeds in Zacchaeus' heart, said he had a desire that day, I'm going to see Jesus. And everything changed. He never woke up a lost man again. He may have climbed another tree. I don't know for sure. I doubt it. But if he did climb another tree, he climbed it as a saved man.
Amen.
The application is simple this tonight. As a little church, with little strength in a big city, a big religious city.
Yeah.
A lot of people, so-called following Jesus, but except when the gospel's preached, except when the truth is heralded, amen, without compromise. Opposition is here. It's always going to be here.
Oh, yeah.
But if we'll seek Jesus and continue to seek Jesus and not let that stop us,
yeah.
One thing, great joy is going to follow.
Amen.
Great joy. Our church, listen, our church has one chance in this big city of making it, and that is if we wake up every day individually and we seek Jesus.
Amen. Yeah.
Think about Zacchaeus' family. Think about Zacchaeus' wife. Think about Zacchaeus. From that point on, Zacchaeus was no longer lost, amen. Zacchaeus was found. Zacchaeus was pure, clean, and just now, just like his name said. I think we have a lot to look forward to, amen, in our church. We have a lot to look forward to in our city. We have a lot to look forward to in this new building. We have a lot to look forward to. And what God, listen, how do you think we got this building to begin with? With just a little church in a very big city. Now, I know Denton's not as big as Dallas and whatnot. You understand, it's big compared to our congregation.
Right.
And the people have a whole lot of weird philosophies compared to the truth that Jesus Christ has. And we are just a little church doing the best we can. And all what we must continue to do, dearly beloved, is seek Jesus. And keep climbing up that tree, amen. Going to the cross and reminding ourselves who Jesus is. And reminding ourselves who we were before Jesus. And reminding ourselves, hey, Jesus is the hope that He's the one that will make our house different. And by the way, let me just stop right there. If your house is not right, sooner or later, you're not going to stay in the house of God. Amen? If the devil's going to attack your house and then try to get you out of out of God's house. Amen. Don't forget that now. You must, the Bible says that Zacchaeus received Jesus joyfully.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Received him joyfully. He didn't say, wait a minute, Jesus, I got to go clean up. I got to go throw this away.
Right.
See, he didn't say, wait a minute, Jesus, I got to go home and make sure that you don't see this.
Yeah,
pretty good.
Guys, listen to me. Beloved, listen to me. There's so much in this story, but our houses reflect our hearts.
Yeah,
that's right. Amen.
Our house reflects our heart. Our house reflects our character.
Yep.
Almost more so than anything else.
Yes.
Our house reflects who we are.
Amen.
Jesus wants to come in. Jesus will come in.
Amen.
Jesus will abide with you.
Try.
Sup with you. He came for you. The Bible says, and that's how this whole story, he said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He was seeking and he saved Zacchaeus that day. He was seeking, he saved you. That's how it works. But listen, he wants to continue to give you that joy. He wants to continue to grow and abide in your house and give you what you need. But understand something, we have to receive him joyfully and continue to seek him every day. We have to let him be our salvation, our friend. Zacchaeus made a new friend today.
Amen. Right.
No, can I say something to you? As far as I can tell, in verse 7, they murmured, they said, this man's gone to be a guest with a man that's a sinner. They, as far as I can tell, Zacchaeus didn't have a whole lot of friends in that city.
Right.
But I guarantee you that day when Zacchaeus stood up from that supper table and said, you know what, Jesus? I'm gonna give to the poor, and if I've wronged anybody, I'm gonna repay them four times. You know what I see? I see a man who said, wow, I finally found someone who cares about me.
Amen.
I love that old song, amen. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in him a friend so strong and true. Amen. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Man. Zacchaeus is singing that today in heaven.
Amen.
Yeah.
Jesus wrapped his strong and loving arms around me. Oh, man, we got to sing that before we go home tonight.
Amen.
No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Well, this is Zacchaeus' anthem, isn't it? Amen. Oh, how much he cared for me.
Amen.
Boy. Do you remember the day you got saved?
Amen.
You may have thought you had friends then, but you really didn't.
Right.
But Jesus came along and showed and proved to you, hey, I'll be your friend.
Amen.
He's still the best friend you could ever have.
Right.
What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heavenly Father,